In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Critical voices grumbling in the background. We've just gotten used to it, haven't we? In just about every area of our lives. It could be the neighborhood, the workplace, the community, the congregation. The American culture, it's something we've just kind of accepted, that wherever we are, there will be some people who are unhappy, and they will let their unhappiness be known, maybe even perpetually, with a mumbling and a grumbling, or even a more significant approach to expressing their criticism. Does it surprise you that it wasn't really any different for Jesus in our gospel lesson today? The translation that we use in worship kind of undersells what the original language actually says when it says that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. The tense of that verb is actually an ongoing thing, and it's really more of a complaining. And the impression that you get from the use of the word is they were complaining about Jesus and they were complaining to Jesus, and it was all the time relentless complaining. There was nothing he could do to satisfy them. On this particular occasion, it's good for us to take a look at what it was that had them so unhappy with Jesus. Tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home? Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of God, the angels of God, over one sinner who repents." When you and I hear parables, teaching stories like this of Jesus, it's important for us to take a step back from them and take a look at what Jesus was pointing at, especially when they're as pointed and specific as these two stories are here. The attitude of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law should stun us. They were the ones who were supposed to be teaching God's people who God is and what he is like and what he expects of them. They were teaching people that God expected everyone to be perfect, to pursue that perfection by knowing every single one of the Old Testament laws in a way that could be applied to their daily life and make them better than other people. And they also taught, and it's clear from their attitude here, and we know from history that they taught, that there were just people who were too sinful, too bad to be a part of God's eternal plan. They just all the time stood outside of his kingdom and had no hope of ever getting good with God. Jesus wanted these teachers, these Pharisees, to understand how completely they misunderstood what the scriptures were saying about God and about God's desire to know and reach and save every last human being. And he wanted them to also understand by his pointed illustration that they had to see themselves as lost sheep to truly understand and appreciate the relentless pursuit of God toward repentance and the joy that he expresses at the end of each of these teaching stories. The Pharisees didn't quite understand that everyone in the world can find someone to look down on, even looking down on Pharisees and teachers of the law. But they were all about that. And you and I know that all too well, don't we? That we have been on both sides of that equation. That we have been the left out and the looked down upon, and we have also turned that little mechanism on other people. For whatever reason, we saw them as not being someone we wanted to spend time with, that we wanted to be associated with. God wants to assure every last one of us But he's not like that. Not like that at all. In fact, he's just the opposite. He is absolutely relentless in his pursuit of his lost sheep, in his desire to lead them to repentance and know the joy of heaven with him and the angels forever. So it's important for us to take a step back also and remind ourselves what this word repentance means here. It's the opposite of everything that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law are about. Repentance can be defined through Scripture as in a very narrow way and also in a very general way. Let's start with the narrow, the idea of sorrow over sin and honesty and ownership of who we are and what we've been, the words we've said, the destruction we've caused in our own lives and the lives of others as we've rebelled against God and pursued only our own interests, our own priorities, and all the other ways that we continue the human rebellion against God that has been pervasive for all of time. How we each play our own role in that and deserve God's punishment, deserve God's abandonment, but in being led to understand his forgiveness and his love expressed to us in Christ, his paying for every last sin, his guaranteeing us life with him forever through his resurrection. Once you and I come to know and understand our own inability to make ourselves right with God and our dependence on everything that God does for us in giving us the gift of perfection through his Son, then repentance becomes a much broader thing. It becomes our response to God of living all of this by now showing God in the way that we live, that we thank him, that we love him, that we desire to serve him every day, not only with our own lives, but the way we reach others with his love and forgiveness as well. And so when he talks here about one sinner who repents, you and I could kind of bring it back into a very narrow little phraseology, and we could say someone who gets it. When a sinner gets it and understands all of God's love and the whole process of living for God and living with God forever as the scriptures define it, the angels of heaven rejoice. But notice in these verses, as stood out to me in contemplating them to talk with you about them today, there are two things about God that we should find remarkable as Jesus presents it. And the first would be that relentless pursuit of repentance, and then also the relentless pursuit of the joy that God wants to know and wants all of us to know as well. What about it? If you were a shepherd and you had 100 sheep, would you even notice one was missing? How long would it take for you to notice? Would it depend on what that sheep was like? If it was a sheep that always wandered off, maybe you were looking for that one first and realized it was gone. Or if it was the sheep that was always doing its own thing and leading the other sheep to be troublesome, you might be happy that that sheep was gone. Or if it was the sheep of least value, the runts of the whole group, how eager would you be to pursue it? Would you be willing to drop everything, leave all of the rest of the sheep to someone else's care while you went out and pursued finding that one sheep with everything you had available to you, every moment, every resource, perhaps even putting yourself in danger to find that one sheep? Or the woman. She's got 10 coins. She's only missing one. Of course, they're silver coins, so there is some value there. Let's not mistake that. But it certainly seems interesting, doesn't it? That she stops her life and she turns her household upside down, and there is nothing she's not willing to do in that moment to find that one coin that has somehow missed her notice, that it's not there. And she knows that it was in the house the last time she knew where it was. So it's got to be there somewhere. And she's not going to rest until she has it. What an amazing picture that Jesus offers us. This pointed picture of the relentless pursuit of God for our repentance. Do you think the Pharisees at all understood that Jesus was also talking about them? That while they were pointing it at the sinners and the tax collectors as needing God's forgiveness, Jesus is pointing at them and saying, you're just as sinful, you're just as rebellious, and God isn't going to give up on you either. And we know from the Gospels, and we know from the book of Acts, that there were those amongst the Pharisees, the priestly class, the teachers of the law, who came to true repentance and understood and believed in Jesus as their Savior. And so the key here is this understanding that no matter who we are, no matter what we've done, no matter what we think of ourselves or others think of us, not one of us is ever a sinner beyond the reach and the love of God. But he wants that to also be the motivation you and I have to turn that attention the other direction. Once we are repentant sinners who understand who God is and all that he's done for us and what he's given us in Christ, he desires that we demonstrate that same love and forgiveness towards others, all the others that cross the paths of our life. You and I should be stunned by the reception, Jesus says, of the news of repentance in heaven. I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. They only don't need to repent because they don't think they need to repent. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents, he says after the other accounting of the woman and her search. Do you think the angels have only ever celebrated your repentance once? Is that what this is all about? Is that God's intention is that he lead us to that moment when we finally, clearly, truly understand what our Christianity means in our status with God, and from that moment on we're golden? It's not at all the case, is it? Every one of us as Christians has to understand that no matter when we're living our lives, no matter when we're interacting with other people, we're never better than anyone else. We're just as sinful. We're still just as broken. We just happen to know the answer to our brokenness in Christ. And so it's every time he encounters us with our sins, every single time we repent, every single time we reorder our lives on the basis of God's gospel message to us, the angels rejoice again and again. That's the other thing that should amaze us of these verses. God's pursuit of joy, his own joy, and the angels' joy, and our joy in knowing him and knowing eternity with him, knowing the certainty of our living with him, welcome in his presence through everything the shepherd has done for us, his sheep. In the coming weeks, we're going to do what our church body has called on all the congregations across the nation to do. And we're going to hold a Welcome Home Sunday in 2 weeks, and we're going to have five more Sundays after that where all the themes of worship build around this idea of why this should be a welcome place for everyone to gather to hear the word and to grow in faith and grow together in fellowship. And we're following the pattern that reaches out to those in the community and in our own faith family who haven't spent a lot of time with us lately to assure them that they are welcome here. But the reality is there are those who aren't here because they haven't felt welcome. Whether that's their perception that's faulty or it's something that's actually happened, some interaction with one of us or a group of us or some decision that was made or whatever else the case may be, the reality is they're not here. And coming back is not an easy, simple thing. Especially if you're feeling judged. Especially if you're feeling somewhat outside of the group, not part of the clique, or however else you want to describe it. But the reality of this verse tells us we're all equal. We're all equally sinful. We're all equally paid for in the blood of Christ. We're all equally available to God for his pursuit of knowledge and truth and understanding of the reality that he offers us of heaven with him forever. He wants everyone to know that joy. And he especially wants to inspire us who know that joy to realize how important it is to share that joy every day with others. So it's not just the angels of heaven. It's not just God celebrating the repentance, the acceptance of God's word and God's love and forgiveness and the eternal realities it brings about. It's every last one of us, reaching anyone we can, welcoming everyone we can, accepting everyone, not because we don't understand how equal we all are in the relentless pursuit of repentance and joy. It's a fascinating thing to think through. That simple reality of how easy it is in life to get yourself in a position where you think you're better than somebody else for whatever reason it might be. You're smarter than them. You're more gifted than them. You're more moral than them. Jesus cuts to the chase with these powerful parables and leads us each to see our focus is the wrong direction. Our focus should be on God and our understanding of His desire to know us, to have us be a part of His family, and how that extends to everyone around us. It's the great equalizer. Our God has a relentless desire for us to be with Him forever. He has relentlessly pursued you and me and planted His hope in our hearts of our forgiveness and the joy we will one day know completely and fully in His presence. A joy we desire to keep causing in heaven as we pray that the Lord will continue to lead us back to repentance and acceptance of His word and assurance of our forgiveness. The joy we hear in these words is a gift we can offer to others. And so let it be. Let him who hears the word of the Lord obey it. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.